Well, Scott's telling most of the truth. He was willing. I did not have to drag him into it. He actually mentioned it. So I certainly am very grateful of his willingness to do it. In fact, I had thought about it myself and thought better of it. So the fact that Scott is willing to try that. So what we're going to do, as he mentioned, our invitation song will be 124, just the third verse. And then immediately, as soon as Scott can change keys in his mind, number 72, the third verse. So the third verse of those two songs. And this grows out of a song and a song service that we had last Sunday night. Those two songs that Scott used for the Lord's Supper today were sung in that song, in that service. And I just was bursting forth with wanting to ditch the lesson I had planned and preach a lesson based on those two songs. So this lesson is that lesson. So I combined my titles to kind of give you a hint of how difficult this will be for Scott to sing. The title of the lesson is Nearer My God to Be with My Lord. And yes, it will be probably harder to sing it than to say it. But I was so moved by those songs and our singing of them and the idea. I grew up as a child thinking of God as someone who was out to get us. Somebody who was just waiting for me to make a mistake and I would end up in hell. That there was no way I wanted to be the things that I thought I had to be a Christian. I was in rebellion to the Lord and I had no sense of the closeness of God in my life. The more that I read and the more that I study as an adult, I realize that God is with us at all times. The indwelling of God in the Christian is the promise of the Father. It is as much a promise as our forgiveness through baptism. It is as important to our daily life as anything that we can imagine. That we have Jesus by our side. That God is with us. That He will strengthen us and encourage us. And to start this lesson, I want to go to Exodus chapter 33, which may seem like an odd spot to begin, but I think it will serve our purposes. Understanding that I am a temple of God, you understanding that you are a temple of God through His Spirit which He has given us, is an important part of understanding the gifts and the blessings that we have as Christians. And the understanding that when we sing these songs about nearer my God to be and be with me, Lord, a constant sense of Thy abiding presence, that those things are real and that those things should be true for us in our life. And if not, this lesson is for you specifically. Exodus 33 comes after Exodus 32. It's just that kind of analysis that you're here for. But the point of that is this. In Exodus 32, you have one of the great sins of the Bible. You have the golden calf that Aaron made while Moses was on the mountain. Moses comes down and God has told him that the people have rose up to play. He comes down, he smashes the Ten Commandments he's been given. God tells Moses to strap on his sword. 7,000 people are killed as God declares, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. And then God says to the people, you need to leave Sinai, but I'm not even going to go with you. What a chilling statement. As vengeful as killing 7,000 people with the sword would have been, as sinful as it would have been to rise up and play to a calf that Moses ground down and made them drink, as terrible as all that would have been, the worst thing that could have ever happened for Israel was that God would not go with them. What about you? How's your life today? Do you have a constant sense of God's abiding presence? Whether you do or you do not feel it, Christian, it is there. As much as forgiveness of sins is a part of Acts chapter 2:38, so is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that when we heard and we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God as a guarantee of our eternal life. Those things are not just words for a Sunday morning. They're just not for a preacher to say. They're for us to ingest and understand that we have the special blessing of God being with us at all times. And yes, we can stray from God. We can live a life that calluses our heart away from the Spirit of God. But then we can return and we can repent. And we can cleanse our vessel so that God may come to dwell with us. Exodus 33, verses 1 through 3. This is where God has had enough of Israel. And he tells Moses, you need to leave Sinai. They'd been there a year. You need to leave and you need to take this group of people and you need to go to the promised land, but I will not go with you. Here's what the text said. The Lord, that is Jehovah, said to Moses, depart, go up from here. You and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go among you, lest I commune with you along the way for you, consume you along the way for you, a stiff-necked people. Of all the things that God ever said to Moses, this was maybe the most chilling. Moses said, Lord, if you won't go with me, I won't go. Lord, if your presence is not near us, how can we survive? How can we live? We're going to a land flowing with milk and honey, but we need a land of your spirit and your constant abiding presence. What direction will I have? How will we know to do right or wrong, Lord? How can we go on without you? I cannot go. I will stay here. I will die. God relents and goes with the people of Israel. Look in chapter 33 down to verse 14. Verse 14 of Exodus chapter 33 reads like this. It says, and he said, that is God, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he, in 15, this is Moses, he said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth? Notice the phrase that God uses here. My presence will go with you. His presence. How was it that they would know the presence of God is with us? How do we know the presence of God is with us today? In the same way, because we associate with the temple. Because we associate with the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation. Different translations put it different ways. You know that when God was on Mount Sinai with Moses, he gave him instruction on how to build this tent that would be a shadow of what eventually Solomon would build as the temple in Jerusalem, and it served the same function. And inside it you had the holiest of holies, and in there was the Ark of the Covenant. And above the cherubim on the mercy seat, God appeared to Israel, his presence with them in a cloud by day and a fire by night. And when God's presence came into the temple, no man could stand. It's literally where Moses would go to meet with God, the tent of meeting. So when Moses says he could not go on, that's what he means. He means, if I have no ability to go with you, God, no ability to meet with you, how can I have the strength, how can I have the knowledge to do what you would say? Well, you might sit here and say, well, that's Old Testament stuff, preacher. We don't have a tent of meeting or a tabernacle or a temple in Jerusalem. Well, how can we have the presence of God in that way? We can't have, there's no pillar of cloud, there's no pillar of fire for us today. True. But there is a tent of meeting, and in it we groan. There is a tent of meeting, and in it we groan. So how do we go from the Old Testament, how do we go 3,400 years from the time of Moses to today? It's been probably 1,500 years since God's presence has appeared in the physical tabernacle in Jerusalem. Well, God's presence is a promise for the Christian and for the church. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 31. This is a text with which you're familiar. You may be familiar with it out of the book of Hebrews. This is quoted, directly from the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews in chapter 8. We'll read it out of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. And what we're looking for here is the presence of God. The presence of God. Verse 31, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach their neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more. I will be their God and they shall be my people. God will walk amongst us. God's presence will be with us. How? We have no Ark of the Covenant here. We have no cherubim over which God will appear. But we have a temple. You, individual Christian, are that temple. We, as a congregation of Christians, are living stones coming together in spiritual worship to our God. Our spirits and God's spirits coming together, praising His name, existing with Him, knowing His law, feeling His presence. Go back to Exodus chapter 25 for just a moment. I mentioned that Moses referred to it as the tent of meeting, the place where he would meet with God. I want to examine that just a little further. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 25, Exodus 25 and verse 21. Exodus 25 and verse 21. I want you to notice what happened when God would appear with Moses. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. This is Exodus 25, 21. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. Now, there's no way that today we have that same experience as Moses, the direct contact with God. But the idea of the tabernacle as where God would meet with people is the same. Exodus 33 and verse 7. Exodus 33 and verse 7. This is what the people thought about Moses. It says, Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And anyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So this idea of God meeting with His people, of His Spirit dwelling above the mercy seat. If you've ever seen any drawing or picture of what is supposed to be the Ark of the Covenant, it's just a golden box. And there are these cherubim that cover it. And as they go up, their wings come together and the tips of them touch on top of the Ark. And then within the Holiest of Holies, there are these larger cherubim and they touch as well. And the idea is that God appeared above the mercy seat and no man could go into the presence of God. After Nadab and Abihu die, God tells Aaron, don't come in here when you want. One day a year on the Day of Atonement, on the day that blood is shed and the scapegoat is made for sin, on that day you may come, but only with so much incense that you cannot see the glory of God. What a blessing it would be to have God dwelling with His people. You see now what their fear at having to go and face a battle in a new place with no God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever gone through trial and thought, I don't feel close to God. I don't feel very spiritual today. I'm dry. That's the word I like to use. I'm dry. I just don't have the Spirit with me. Well, God is there. I'm just not aware of it. It's me that's moved, not God. So I need to be reminded and I need to read and I need to trust and I need to know that when I go to God in our tent of meeting, which is found on my knees, when I appear to the great God through my high priest, Jesus Christ, when I come into the presence of God, that I am aware that God is there when I pray. And there God meets with us. Through Jesus and through the Spirit who makes intercession for us. The Spirit that knows what we're thinking, the Spirit that knows how we're feeling, even when we cannot express it, God knows because the Spirit in us knows and communicates to God. What a blessing that is, that we are able to go and meet with our God. One more thing on this idea of God being above the mercy seat. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings is the story of Solomon becoming king. You've had three kings of Israel so far: Saul, David, and now we're on to Solomon. And in Solomon's time, he builds the temple of God that God had promised to the people of Israel in Jerusalem. And in doing so, God commemorates the moment by making his presence known to the people of God. So again, we have the tent of meeting from Moses' time, the same Ark of the Covenant. This is the same piece of furniture, the same place that God would meet with his people. But now God and the Ark are in its permanent home. They are on the hill that he promised, and the temple that he promised to build. And this is what happened in that moment. 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11. 1 Kings 8, verse 10 and 11. And when the priests came out of the holy place, that's where the ark stayed, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When you do what is right when it's trouble to do it, when you do what's right when others can more easily not, you give glory to God. You glorify God because people see in you that you are different. They see that you have been with God. I'll never forget Brother Mike Richardson did a lesson one time and said they noticed that they had been with Jesus. And he's using a text from Acts that talked about the apostles were uneducated men and that they had been thrown in prison. And these religious leaders look at them now and they say something has changed. They noted that they had been with Jesus. Do people know that I have been with God? Do people know that I have met with God today? Do people know that I am aware that God lives with me and walks with me and strengthens me and is eternal life living in me, that one day the Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead will raise me from the dead, and as Christ ascended, so shall I, to go and be with the Father. That will change you. That will make people notice that you're different, and it will glorify God. Well, that's a lot of Old Testament. We're going to finish our lesson in the New Testament. We're going to finish our lesson now, but we begin in Ezekiel talking about now. One more Old Testament verse, Ezekiel chapter 36. People sometimes say they don't like to preach out of the Old Testament. I don't understand that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. All the good stories are in the first 39 books. If you don't like preaching out of the Old Testament, read more of it. I don't know. Maybe you're not familiar. Maybe you don't know where the good stories are. But Ezekiel is one of those. Ezekiel is a fantastic place to read. It's a puzzling place to read sometimes. It's a powerful place to read. But God speaks through his prophets. Ezekiel is one of them. We're in Ezekiel chapter 36. Forgive me, I am not in Ezekiel chapter 36. But I'm getting there. I want you to notice these promises that God makes. Remember again, this is a prophet, not God, but this is God's word being spoken through him. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. Ezekiel 36 verse 25, we'll read through verse 27. Ezekiel prophesying about a time that will come under the new covenant says this: I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Christian, did you know that was the promise of the Father? Did you know that when you come in faith, repenting and turning to Jesus Christ as your Lord, and when you are buried in Christ with baptism, do you realize that not only are your sins forgiven, but you are given the gift of God's Spirit himself inside you? There's no tabernacle now. There's no tent of meeting. There's no Ark of the Covenant. Those things are lost to history. How does that happen? How do we meet with God? How does God dwell within us? How do we know these things? Because God, who promised, is faithful. And he said he would be our God and we would be his people and he would walk with us and he would put his spirit within us. Do you believe it? At 2 o'clock this afternoon, I want you to think about God. at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon or whenever next week, I want you to be aware of the fact that God is in you and beside you and with you in a way that He is not with those who are not His sons. That He strengthens you, that He cares for you, that He knows where you are, and He wants you to seek His face. So is this something I've made up? Is this an Old Testament doctrine that somehow I'm throwing on you today? No. It's something that the more you read your Bible, the more you will learn. We'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the New Testament and find out if I'm telling the truth. Does the Bible say we're really a temple for the Spirit of God? Oh, it says it. It's not really a matter of does it, it's a matter of how many times. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament, chapter 6 and verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Remember Ezekiel, he was going to cleanse them, sprinkle them with clean water, remove their idols from them. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Did you catch it? We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How do people know that we're with God? Because we bear the fruit of the Spirit. How do they know we've been with God? Because we've crucified the works of the flesh. How do they know we've been with God? Because we're different. We separate from sin. We long to be with God. We long to be with what is pure. We long one day to go and live with Him. That we want Him to be with us now. We want to be nearer to Him now. But we know one day we will walk with Him hand in hand. The same book, 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 reads like this. For all the promises of God... I'm a verse early. We'll read verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, and who has put His seal on us, and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The promise of God is not only salvation. The promise of God is His dwelling with us now. Now, this is not an accident. This is not just two random verses that have come together. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. This is how God intended for it to be. God wants us to know He is with us. God wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to meet with Him. Can you imagine God's presence coming down over the tent of meeting and Moses not wanting to go? Can you imagine the Spirit of God waiting on him there in the tabernacle and Moses say, I've got something better to do? Christian, drink of the Spirit of God. Jesus says it will flow out of us like living rivers in John chapter 7. People should be able to see the Spirit in us because they see the fruit of the Spirit in us. And because they know that we have a strength that they do not, because we know that God is with us. Is there anything better as a parent than having your child take your hand? Do you remember being a child? And do you remember how you felt if you ever got lost in a store? Couldn't find your way? And then your parent would be there? What changed? Nothing changed. Nothing happened that changed the world. Except you're acknowledging the presence of your Father. Every day, Christian, He is there with you. And He loves you. And He wants good things for you. Woo, I'm talking instead of preaching. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read this and the lesson will be yours. Now remember, Brother Scott is going to sing 124, third verse. And chapter number 72, the third verse. So just stand and do your best. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Through Jesus we get to the Father by the Spirit. So then we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, the temple of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. You see that? What's that structure? We often say that the church is not the building, the church is the people. That is true. What is being built up here is not this building, not a building next door. What is being built here is people in whom the Lord dwells, people in whom he has put his Spirit, people in whom the Spirit walks and produces fruit. You see the last of the verse? You see what I'm not reading yet? In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Your Christian walk is a matter of growing toward God, of reaching and finding him, of wanting to please him, of knowing that you can hold his hand at any time. You can pray to him wherever you are. He will strengthen you to overcome sin. He will put it in your heart to want to seek God and to stay away from idols. He will make it so that you can say, God is near me. What can man do to me? If you're not a Christian, these promises are not for you. They are still yet promises for you. For the Christian, these are things that are fulfilled in you. These are things that are blessings for you. This is how you get through your day. In the morning, remember that God is there. Acknowledge him. Say hello. Tell him thank you. In the midday, remember that the Lord is with you. At evening, when he has strengthened you to get through another day, thank him and praise him. Because he is with us here today. He acknowledges us as we sing these beautiful songs and we say these prayers. That he is our God and we are his people. He dwells with us. If you've never had Christ come into you through the Spirit, come forward now as we stand and we sing in the Spirit.
For if a joyful wing cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forget, upward I fly, still my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing could last me so with this one compare.
Thank you for bearing with me on that. We appreciate everyone for being here. If you're visiting, we thank you for being here. If you're passing through, we pray for you to have a safe journey. Let's remember those of our congregation who are sick. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's remember our sister Alma, who is shut in, and pray for her and our sister Mary Jo also. Do any of the men have any announcements at this time? If not, bear with me and turn to page number 9. Page number 9. Song number 9, we'll sing The first verse of song number 9 kind of goes along with our lesson this morning, Our God, He is Alive. We'll sing just the first verse.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might.
There is a God.
He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From the circle